بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. امام احمد بن حنبل کی بہت عمر رضی اللہ عنہ یعنی وحی would be received by رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم and would hear something like the buzzing of bees, sound of the buzzing of bees. Now when we saw this, we were very anxious to see what's the latest revelation. The news can be fabricated, concocted, exaggerated. But what comes from above is precise, no mistakes, accurate, and then it's for all times, every time and for all times. So why wouldn't the Sahaba Kiram be anxious to listen to it? We get a news today and by tomorrow we understand that it was false. We hear something today and tomorrow we hear it was not accurate. Many a times it happens, we hear that person died, came in the WhatsApp. But the next moment we see him walking as though he came out from Dial Road. So what we're supposed to be listening to and giving a place in the heart, that we aren't. And as a result then, we are suffering from anxiety, worry, tension, mental turmoil, depression, that what we're supposed to giving a place deep in the recess of the heart, that we just keep it light. And what we are supposed to just ignore, by the way, you heard it, you didn't hear it. So that we're giving a deep place and securing in the heart. So why shouldn't you feel depressed? Just before Zohar, and Mulana came from Johannesburg, Benoni, he's telling you the fate of depression, some of his friends. So I asked him, what is the possible cause? Cause is obvious. They're listening to what's happening in Durban here and there, and they're falling into a depression. So what you're supposed to be listening and giving a place in your heart that you didn't do, and what you're supposed to be just ignoring and don't take it serious, that you're taking it serious. So Umar radiallahu anhu says that we're very anxious, we want to know now what's the latest, what's come up. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the wuhi had subsided, turned towards the Qibla and he made dua, Allahumma zidna wa la tanqusna. We understand that after the recitation of the Quran Sharif, du'as are answered. See, Quran Sharif, then make dua. So it's one of the times for the dua to get accepted. Alright, one is at the time of a khatam, then two the Quran, then two the dua is accepted. But you can't rule this off that you recited the Quran Sharif and then the du'as won't be accepted. Now this is from the hadith, the wahi and then du'a. I explained once earlier that after you have done some khidmat, a work of kindness, then make du'a. It's time for acceptance. فَسَقَالَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الزِّلْ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Musa al-Islam watered the animals and then moved on to the shaded area and رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ, raised his hands in dua. So you do an act of kindness and ask Allah Ta'ala. Recitation of the Quran Sharif and beg Allah Ta'ala's assistance. So this begging must come with that level of conviction that is desired. So zidna wa la tanqusna, grant us increase and no decrease. Wa aatina wa la tahrimna, and Allah Ta'ala grant us and don't deprive us. many a times our eyes shift from Allah Ta'ala. And when it shifts from Allah Ta'ala, Allah doesn't like that. Our Ustaz Rahman says, I was traveling towards Punjab, so I saw that the farmers were working, but the rains were delayed. Min ibaniha, from the time it's supposed to be raining, so they're working there, but there's no rain. Then I moved on to another area, and then it was too much of rain, waterlogged. See. Again, I moved to another area, then we found that all the farmers were gone sick, all those that are supposed to harvest. So what is Allah Pak doing here? He's correcting your sight, your vision. Sometimes you lose sight of the fact that Allah Pak is the provider, and your mind goes towards this thing and the second thing and the third thing. And Allah Pak doesn't like this. That your sight must be on Him at any given time. The statements of our Buzuganadi really, they come from the Quran and the Hadith. But just that we take the statements very lightly. I was explaining one, another alim that came in this morning. I said, this statement is so profound and so often heard, right? Kabhi bhi kisi se kisi kisam ki umeed na rakhna. And Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah, when he mentioned this, he said, "Aur mujhse bhi nahi." Don't have any hopes with any person at any time, not even with me. So now you look at it, just analyze the statement here. The fights that take place, the misunderstanding, is because of what? Because of your hopes. The husband got hopes for the wife in the husband. But because the hopes aren't working, so there is bitterness. So for that moment, your eyes have shifted from Allah Ta'ala to this person here. So she'll make it happen, and so and so will make it happen. And when it doesn't happen, then you feel disappointed. I did so much, and this is what I get in return. So that's how you will speak. So your eyes have moved on from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to something else and to someone else. Sometimes it's your child, sometimes it's your wife, sometimes it's your friend, an acquaintance, and it didn't work out, so you feel so bitter, you feel so hurt about it. One person is looking for employment, can't get employment, everything is constrained now. They eventually found some employment as a cook. So he must cook all the meals for the boss. He said, alright, my sleeping is already arranged because I have to cook all the meals. And I will be the cook, so khane ka masla bhi hal ho jayega. So I'll be the cook now, so the leftovers and all that, it's a small, meager amount that I will send it to the family, and I will live here. So he's calculating the whole thing in his mind. See, hopes. When that nazar is shifted from Allah Ta'ala to things and people, Allah Pak doesn't like this. The hadith doesn't say that abandon the asbab, but he says don't have hopes and trust in that. People, asbab, makhluk, don't have your hopes in that. Now, he's taken the employment and started the work. As he started the work now, so the protocol when you're cooking in India, so the cook must personally dish out the food to the boss. So he's personally dishing it out now. For the first week now, he must do his best. So whatever he could do, he did it very well. So the boss saying, oh, so the thing, hey, alright, maybe the walls of the pot, I can just scrape that or do something. Now the boss says, sir, patili le aao, main Kaaba Sharif ko jharu de do. Bring the pot so that I can just sweep out the Kaaba Sharif also. That's how they say in India. You know, out of respect for the food, sir, Kaaba Sharif ka jharu de do. I will sweep the Kaaba Sharif. Now this person is thinking, there is nothing left here, absolutely nothing. So he takes the pot, the bottom of the pot, he puts it to the boss. Sir, Hazrat Aswad ka bhi bosa le lo. See the hopes. And what this hope does to you. Especially everything. You get angry, disappointed, become depressed. Your nazar has shifted from Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Pak doesn't like this at all. When I am your Rabb, why is your nazar going elsewhere? You just said, La ilaha illa, that's all, nothing else. The La ilaha illa, lamma yadkhulil imanu fi qulubikum. It hasn't penetrated the recesses of the heart. That's what's required. So this iman is not just a lip service. It needs to go deep into the heart. So zidna wa la tanqusna wa akrimna wa la tuhinna, and honor us, Allah Ta'ala, don't disgrace us. I tell you, for a second Allah Ta'ala leaves you, you're gone. Second, just for a second. If Allah Ta'ala just exposes you for the last 10 years, 12 years, for how you spent your life, every word, every behavior, everything that you did, or everything that you thought of and you planned, I ask you, will you like living? So how much He's honored us? Do we think about it, how much He's honored us? So this honor is coming from Allah Ta'ala. And then the one that we forget most is Allah Ta'ala. But then He loves us most, that He's keeping your izzat as well. No matter what you've done, but He's maintained and preserved your izzat. In the presence of people, your household, your family, He's preserved your izzat. So Islam is everything about keeping yourself happy. If you count and enumerate the favors of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak's favor is raining upon you so much, you know, like a heavy rain. I ask you, will you ever feel depressed? Say, Allah Pak, you know, I'm short, I can't manage. So much your favors are so much. It's raining, sha'abiba rahmatik, so much. It's just falling and falling. But please don't take this up. It's too much, you're giving so much. You know, I am unable to enumerate your favors. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And for this, it was a style of the awliya of the past, that they would take out the time to enumerate the favors of Allah Ta'ala. The business that you have done for the day, you take out the time to do the accounting, don't you? The grocery, small thing like grocery that you bought, you take out the time to see what you bought and what you didn't buy. And then, I know in my own house, they're so particular about these things here, that they look at the offers now, what is going on? For all that you got the time, so the oil is going cheaper here, and the milk is going cheaper that side, right? And it's going for this price. But do you take out the time to think and to enumerate and thank Allah Ta'ala? And Allah is saying, do that. فَاسْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. It's a command. وَالْأَمْرُ لِلْوُجُوبِ. And the command is to show that this is not just an optional thing, it's a compulsory thing. I ask you, how many of us do that? Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think about the favors from small, and you hear how much he's done. You know, you'll drown in tears. Allah has given you so much from you. وَأَكْرِمْنَا وَلَا تُهِنَّا. So is there any reason for a Muslim to feel depressed and despondent? I was telling one friend who lost his property now in this crisis, for this also you're not supposed to be feeling depressed. Why? Sometimes there's a new beautiful site and it's razed, right? It's demolished. For it to be replaced with a skyscraper. Look at our Talibi board. Such a beautiful building it was. I was a little bit difficult to see that new building going down. That room is my just look after that. But the engineers and all didn't agree, obviously. So everything had to be broken down for it to be replaced with the skyscraper. So sometimes Allah takes, but He replaces. At this point, I need to make one aspect clear. Right? I beg you in the name of Allah Ta'ala, don't speculate. I get all types of people coming here in office, every type. Someone says, this person here, he didn't do his zakat right, so he's got knocked down. That person there, yeah, he stole from the inheritance, he stole. He pulled a job there. So I know about him. I see what happened. So Allah smashed him down. So is this speculation or not? How do you know that this is related to that? How do you know? Allah Pak speaks about Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam, wealthy, properties, children, everything. And everything gone, everything wiped out. The wealth is gone, properties are gone, children are gone, everything is wiped out. So can you say, na'uzubillah, that this was the reason? So why do you speculate? And why do you make this type of statements? The actual reason why it happened, Allah Pak knows. For some person, perhaps, it is for his sins. For some person, perhaps it is for elevation of his status. For some person, Allah Pak loves him. So Allah Pak wants to see now, by at this juncture also, will your nazar, will your sight be turned away from me or not? That I have given you or that you were with me. And I have taken it away now to see now, that is your nazar still on me or it's shifted? So then when you pass the exam, then Allah Pak elevates you. Ayyub alayhi salam, when he struck, and then after being struck, وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَوْمَ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. After he struck, then Allah Ta'ala substituted him, replaced him, doubled the amount. Children, property, wealth, Allah Ta'ala doubled it. He wiped it out first, and then he doubled it. Sometimes I think about our Abdul Qadir Hafiji, right? And some years ago, I know we went with Ilyas to go to offer him condolence for his property being burned down. After that, now you ask him now, say for example he was alive now, right? Say, you ask him, you will long for that old property or this property that Allah will give you now. So when that he got wiped out, he replaced him. That's why in Abu Dawud Shari, Bukhari Shari, there's a hadith which says that the best ibadat, what is the best ibadat? The best ibadat is to anticipate good in the face of crisis. Now something happened now, Allah will make something good, some door will open up. So to long in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, in the kindness and the compassion of Allah Ta'ala, to long, alright, this thing has happened, some door will open up just now. To long, to expect in Allah Ta'ala, Allah wants you to do it. And with people, Allah doesn't want you to do it. Don't you have expectation with people. Your expectation is with me. I am the doer. فَعَالُوا لِمَا يُرِيدُ. I do as I please. Why is your nazar, why is your sight turning away from me? So Ayyub alayhi salam is asked, that are you happier with all this wealth or at the time of distress when everything got wiped out? So now, you know, every word of a Nabi, really, every word, I mean it literally, every word of a Nabi is a blessing. Every word of a Nabi is a teaching. He says, Allah Ta'ala, wealth is your blessing and poverty is also a blessing. We don't realize it, but it's a blessing. Poverty is a blessing and wealth is a blessing also. What we think is only wealth is a blessing. That when Allah Pak gives us, then he says, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. Allah Pak has honored me. And when it's taken away, then he says, Allah رَبِّي أَهَانًا. Allah Pak, you disgrace me. Allah Pak says, that's not the criteria. That's the criteria you are applying. That's not the criteria. You feel that you have got it, so he's honored you. And he's taken it away, so he's dishonored you. That's wrong. Now look at a Nabi now, in the face of a crisis, what he says. See, this poverty also is a blessing. Wealth also was a blessing. Allah Ta'ala, I cherish those moments when I didn't have that wealth. And I could relate to you directly, not via the wealth, etc. There I could relate to you and I could relate to you directly. Now with the wealth, you sleep with the wealth now, the murk you're driving, Allah shukar, but via the murk, right? Allah, so good breakfast you gave me, seven course, via the breakfast, right? So good children you gave me, via the children. And then there's nothing at all. I'm talking to you, I'm talking to my Rabb, my beloved, I'm talking to him direct. No intervention, absolutely, I'm direct. أَكْرِمْنَا وَلَا تُهِنَّا. وَأَعْطِنَا وَلَا تَحْرِمْنَا. Allah Ta'ala grant us and don't deprive us. So at any given time, we are required to ask Allah Ta'ala, أَعْطِنَا وَلَا تَحْرِمْنَا. Again, you see Ayyub alayhi salam, rain of locusts, rain of gold locusts, and he is collecting it. Alam nuhdika, oh Ayyub, didn't we give you enough that you need to collect this as well? La ghina an barakatik, oh Allah Ta'ala, we can be independent of other things, but not from you. It's coming from you. For a moment we can't say that we don't need, we need it. At any given time, whatever you're giving. But if the gift is from you, when the gift is from you, it may seem small to our eyes, but really it's great. So when a mu'min is making dua, then he's making dua to show and express his desperation. So that's the rule, that's the essence of dua, you're asking. And why are you asking? To show and to express your limitation, your helplessness, your desperation. Allah wants to see that. أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Isn't he the one that answers the dua of the desperate, the one that is in desperation? يَا مُجِيبَ دُعَى الْمُضْطَرِّينَ. I ask you, I'm hurt, I'm really hurt. In my hurt I'm saying, I'm talking, right? That this whole season of Hajj went, but we didn't hear anything about Hajj. Nothing about Hajj, the glory of Hajj, is a shi'ar of Islam. We didn't hear anything about Hajj. At least we should be given some talks, something about Hajj, something about the Kaaba Sharif, something. We relate, this is our shi'ar, it's one of the farais. No, everything is carrying on normal. And we don't even talk about it, not identified, not even relating to the Hajj. Not even to the Kaaba Sharif. Now, what happens to us? Aren't we supposed to be relating to our children? Alright, we can't talk to everybody to tell our children, right, this is Hajj, what is done, how people accumulate money over years, and they go to the Kaaba Sharif, what happens there? Aren't we supposed to be reminiscing and reminding that once the doors open up again, aren't we supposed to be making dua? Aren't we supposed to be crying tears of blood? Really, I mean tears of blood. This is our Kaaba Sharif. سَوَاعَنِ الْعَاكِفُ فِيهِ وَالْبَعْضِ. The one that is a resident there and the one who is coming from the outside, both are identical. They have all same rights, whether he's there or he is coming from the outside. Aren't we supposed to be making dua? Who knows whose dua can be answered? You make dua now and then it just opens out. All these barriers all break down. Can't you make dua like that? These barriers are because of our wrongs, right? When the barriers are because of our wrongs, can't we make dua, Allah forgive the ummah? You don't know whose dua at which time Allah just answers it. All those barriers are broken down. Even if we don't go to the Baytullah, but it becomes functional once again, that Hajis, people, Muslims around the globe, they are going there. It's not only because of me it must open up. No, that's wrong. That's being selfish. Oh, because of me, I want to go, therefore it must be open. Alright, we understand, we respect that you want to go. But more than that is the ummah. Do you ever think like that? Akrimna wala tuhinna. Wa'atina wala tahrimna. Wa'athirna wala tu'sir alayna. Allah Ta'ala prefer us over others. And don't prefer others over us. All of us want to excel, right? Want to excel. When we want to excel, then Allah, give me the opportunities that I can excel. I can gain your proximity. It will not be that everybody is gone forward and I remain behind. Now what this means? Just now, this moment, that hadith came to my mind. لَا يَزَالُ يَتْأَخَّرُ حَتَّى يُؤَخِّرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. You remain back. Come and fill the front rows, namaz. Now you remain back, sluggish, not coming in front. So you keep on doing that until your entry into Jannah also will be at the end. That's one of the explanations, three explanations they give. But one explanation is this, that you're not trying to be front, you're not trying to occupy the front rows. You're supposed to be there. You are delaying going right to the back. until your entry in the Jannat also will be at the end. So when it's an opportunity, Allah is giving you, throwing you an opportunity, then you must show Allah Ta'ala, I've desperate, I need everything. Small gift or a big gift. But Allah, it's your gift, I need it. I want to show my desperation first. And that is the Quranic lesson. Inna amanna liyaghfirana khatayana and kunna awwal al-mu'minin. See, these magicians, they accepted Islam and they said, we are the first to believe, right? Now, it's a discussion now amongst the ulama kiram that is it the right thing to say an awwal al-mu'minin? Some say now it becomes, it's a statement of kufr. Because you say, I'm the first to believe, you mean it literally. What is it? You're saying that you have accepted Islam before the Nabi. And the Nabi of the Ummah is the first. And you're saying, no, I am ahead of the Nabi. So, that is not the intended meaning. The intended meaning is, mutabadaratan fil khairat. What? Mutabadarat fil khairat. In other words, you are showing Allah that I am racing towards the good. When you open up an opportunity, I am racing. You open up a door, I am racing. I want to be there. I want to be there as soon as possible. It's your opportunity. You have given it. You open the doors. So Allah, I want to be there. وَآثِرْنَا وَلَا تُؤْسِرْ عَلَيْنَا. See that in any opportunity Allah gives out, He opens out an opportunity, our duty is, I want to be there. In a sale, you want to be there first. In a Black Friday, astaghfirullah. What a name to give to the Friday. The hadith says, the Friday, what a roshan din hai. It's a radiant day. The radiant day made it black. Is it coming to your mind? What even is supposed to say this type of day? I just have to use it now. Because that day, everybody is like mad, going to the shops, all that, half price, quarter price, no price, right? But when a man throws out an opportunity, we are rushing. And when Allah throws out an opportunity, are we rushing? Are we showing the same eagerness, the anxiety, I want to be there first? Are we showing that? وَآثِرْنَا وَلَا تُؤْسِرْهَا. So whatever Allah shows, let's try, let's emulate. A lot of homes already do this Fazail Amal, someone does Shamayla Tirmizi, but the Talim has to be there in the homes. When I'm looking what's going on nowadays, I say it's not just an optional thing, it's an obligatory thing. And why I say it's obligatory? Because the mind is going off. The shape, the design, the thought of the mind, the goal is going off the goal. So, when you go off now, how important it is to get you back. Thinking is going all in reverse, pervert. Going into perverse. One example, one Jawad brother gave that example, but it's a very good example for the present circumstance, present what's going on, right? Take a square, right? And take a dot in the center of the square. Right? So say that center is Jannat, right? So this is the square, and the center is Jannat, right? That's a dot, that's Jannat. So now, there are people that are placed differently. Someone are very close, right close to the dot, and someone is right at the distance, right at the parameter. All are heading towards what? Towards Jannat. But the one that is at the parameter, right at the barrier, he's moving towards that side. He's coming slowly. He's new into Islam. He's new into Hidayat. So he's coming in. Where there was no namaz, he's doing one namaz. Where there was just one namaz, he's doing two namaz. Right? Where there was no namaz, he's doing Jummah namaz, right? So he's moving towards Jannat. Can you see now his direction? And there's a person right at the center, and he's moving towards the parameter. You understand? He's right in Jannat. Right, one, two steps away from Jannat. And there, he's moving towards the barrier, right towards the cordon, right towards the parameter. Right? And they are at the same spot. Outwardly, it would seem that both of them are identical. Don't you say identical? But I ask you, are they the same? So that's the meaning of the hadith. وَإِنَّمَا يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَىٰ نِيَاتِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. They will get up, they will be resurrected, they will be raised up according to their niyat. This person was moving out, looking for loopholes, looking for ways and exits to get out of all the parameters. And this person is moving towards it. Can you see? They're meeting up at the same spot. He is moving towards Jannat. And this person is exiting from that. So when you talk about loopholes, and you talk about exiting, and you talk about the Springer Beach being very orthodox, parakramta, you all these words. Very. So our fikr is, by how to get you closer to Jannat, not to distance you away. So we have to, someone has to show the original Islam, not this modern and moderate Islam. See now, people are talking about modern Islam and moderate Islam, and this is too difficult, and how can you manage it, right? But this is all nonsense, not the right thing. Around the late 1800s, Sir Sayyid, 1800 means about 1850, 1860, he started off the college, and that was around the same time that Darul Diyoman had started off. So, his intentions were good. We will not say that his intentions were corrupt. But he had to make the Islam very much appealing to his English masters. But he had to make the Islam appealing to the English so that Muslims can continue living here. So his intention was good, that Muslims can live here comfortably. So now, then, to do that, he had to trim, cut off, redesign, do all of these things, right? And at that time, all the ulama, without exception, were against him. So his intention was good. His intention was for the safety, for the continuity, for the sustainability of Islam and the Muslims. And to do this, to appease them so that Islam and the Muslims can be sustained here. Right? But there wasn't an alim at that time that was not against him. Wrote kitabs, wrote against him. Right? Now the same thing is going to a second, it's a second time that it's going around. But now it's going around the second time, now we're interpreting it as ikhtilaf. It's a difference of opinion, you must respect the difference of opinion. At that time, all ulama agreed that this is wrong, it's haram, you're going out of Islam. And now, the same thing is being repeated. It's being repeated, now we're saying, no, we can't be so hard, we have to be relaxed. Someone is talking about gay, we have to be relaxed. Someone is talking about modern Islam, then we have to be relaxed. Let me just show you what happens in a modern Islam. Some days ago, one person came to the madrasa. Maybe it was just about half past 12, so most of the people were sleeping at that time. Ja'ahum ba'asuna ahum qa'ilun, or resting, right? So he came, and I could see now he's got some ghabrat, right? Something is worrying the man, he's really disturbed. So if you attend to people, what can you do? Sometimes in the midst of the mutala, enjoying that thing, just getting it right now, the man comes right at that time. But now, the people that come, khud aate nahi, Allah Ta'ala ke bheje hue. Who's coming, Allah Ta'ala has sent them. So you have to respect them even more than your own personal thing. Because that is a nafa, a faida that will reach others. This will reach yourself only. That will reach the next person. So this time you'll give preference to that person over yourself. Then you have to close my kitab by, what is it, showing a good face. Although now I'm deep, I'm going to do that work now. You know, in the midst of the thing, and then a man comes, right? No mind. So I could see now the man had some problem. What happened? So we had some domestic problem, argument, etc. And we called someone. Outwardly he seemed to be righteous, with a kurta. He seemed to know some knowledge he had, right? May not have been an alim, but he had some knowledge. So we asked him, we called him in to mediate. Now, in the process of mediating, so he asked for some water. Now, it's woman's habit that they want to be the first to go and serve. Anyway, they want to do it, right? Allah keep that woman, right? Serve, they will see that the next person is comfortable and relaxed. Now, when he asked for water, so this woman went to offer the water. She brought the water, but the fingers touched. See, that's moderate Islam. They're talking to each other now, and she doesn't have the face cover, the niqab she doesn't have, moderate. So the eyes are meeting, and the fingers touched. The man tells me, the next day they were sleeping together. His wife and this person. And until she said, no, I can't manage with you, now I need to separate. Now he separated, then that person doesn't want to marry him. She separated because of that person, now he doesn't want to marry him. Now, she is in a compounded problem, right? Because he issued the divorce. When he issued the divorce, now someone else that was even more wealthier than him, he offered to marry her. Marriage was done, he said, but I'm not enjoying myself. 1 year has gone like this, I'm not enjoying myself. So I'm getting the wealth, but I don't get the love that I got from the previous husband. Now what do I do? At that time, this person came to ask me. But you see this moderate and be relaxed and all that. And what it leads to, one thing to the other, the third. Before you went in, you lost everything. So the right way is to come back to the original. Try your best. Wherever you are, one namaz, make it two. Two namaz, three. Right? You're not doing the full parda, do it three quarter. And come, move on. Don't remain stagnated and don't go backwards. No, it's ikhtilaf. So the wrong thing is you remain stagnated or you go backwards. I just showed an example through that square and the center is like the Jannah, right? So you don't remain stagnated nor do you move backwards. But you say, alright, I've done this now. Let me increase, let me do something more. Now imagine that person is going forward and in that, while she's trying to move forward and that time Malakul Maut just comes. I ask you, isn't he a fortunate person? Isn't he fortunate? He's trying. It will remind you of the person that killed 100 people, but he's moving towards the Qaryat al-Salihin. The town of the pious is going. So his direction is right, his effort is right. Although he can't manage it because he wasn't in this all the time. But now he's trying to come out. Once I was in Nizamuddin, Hazrat Ahmed's time, so Hazrat Ahmed is explaining the morning talk. The morning talk is 99% local people, 1% foreigners. So he's explaining the locals by, if the South Africans, Americans, British, if they go and eat out in the hotels, please don't stop them. The eating out of the hotel doesn't mean like a hotel. A hotel means where you have food, like what do you say, like a shop to eat, a restaurant or takeaway. So if they go out to eat in a takeaway, then don't stop them. Then he's giving the reason. He says, you see, these people are living in a certain standard, right? You will try to bring them to a mustahab and their faras will get lost. Now you will ask them to eat the simple food, their stomach will start working, they can't even read the faras namaz. They used to this thing here as though that good food is an addiction. Now you tell me, when you don't have the addiction, now how do you feel? Can you function like? You're addicted to right to good food, right? To a certain class, the standard of food. And you don't have that for 4, 5, 10 days, what happens? The whole mood goes down. Until you don't have the good food, then you don't feel right. So these people are addicted to this thing here. Right? Now you try to bring them to a mustahab, and he'll get deprived of a faras. Let's leave them. They'll come in the time. There's another case. So I'm just going to show you. You know, we think that this moderate thing and all that, we relaxed. Yes, on others you will be relaxed. You'll have a relaxed approach. But on your own self, you'll try and move closer to Jannah. Right? What will bring me closer to Allah Ta'ala? What will bring me closer to Jannah? And for Allah Ta'ala's sake, these type of talks must be discussed with the families as well. I ask you, you moving towards Jannah, right? And Allah Ta'ala forbid your family is in Jahannam, will you appreciate that? So if you want them to accompany you to Jannah, then the ta'lim, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُطْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. What you learn, you need to pass on. So that Allah Ta'ala gave you the blessings of this type of a companion here, then this companionship may transcend into Jannah. doesn't just restrict to this point here. So you're discussing this point. You can talk everything else. Tomorrow, what they're going to cook? Having a big mashallah. No, tomorrow we're going to have fry. So where's the marinade? Who got the charcoal? You know, what garlic loaf. Prepare that garlic loaf. And what about the other, I don't know this term, right? What about that? Whatever things, right? So where are you going to get that from? You have a 2-hour discussion for that. But these basic things that will accompany, that will cause her to accompany you into Jannah, do you discuss it with them? Alright, we are at this point here, we're not too good, but how can we improve ourselves? Slowly, this is what we heard. And mind you, most of the time, 99% of the time, I found most Muslim women, they wish to comply. And they'll overtake you. They'll be so firm, they'll overtake you. You're hearing of so many cases, you know, this crisis is. Now, one girl that is attending one of the black the maktabs, right? Zulu, local girl, right? So her household is stole, and they stole so much from the floor right to the roof, sold. Every type of food and convenience, everything. So they're telling this child at 12 years of age, you also enjoy. So, no, not one single thing, not for a moment. Haram, I won't eat it. I won't use it, I won't eat it, not for a moment. That's why I say this woman, many times if they are taught, they're shown, then they'll overtake us. Maybe we'll have to, this hardest is after that. But you don't want to do that. We don't want to do it at all. The time that we take for giving them a ride, take them for a picnic, for a bath, etc., that is for your own entertainment. What have we done for their jannah, for the children's jannah? The children, remember, they are just a trust in your hand. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ Allah Pak says in this verse here. They honor their trust. Whatever is entrusted to them, they honor it. Now trust is two kinds. One is explicit and one is implied. One is explicit, one is implied, right? Implicit is this like this. But I entrusted you with something, right? Something, some property, some wealth, right? And, or I entrusted you with a duty, either with property or either with a duty, right? I assigned you. So what is, I gave you a property, entrusted, or I assigned you with a duty, right? But that duty is supposed to be carried out at a specified time, understand? A duty I've given you, but the duty has to be carried out at a specified time. Right? Like for example now, you got married, right? So that marriage now is an amanat. Right? So before the marriage, I say, did you have any responsibility? Amanat now translated as responsibility. Before the marriage, were you responsible of the woman? After the marriage now you're responsible. It's a duty now. It's a duty that has to be carried out at a certain specific time. See? So now, every person needs to understand, am I carrying out my duty? My duty was also to give them Islam. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves and your household. How are you going to save them? If they don't know what is haram and halal, and you're not discussing the matters with them, will they know what is haram and halal? In the course of a conversation and ghibah they started off and you enjoying it, they started the ghibah and you enjoying it, I say, is that the right thing? It's happening in the homes. In my own home sometimes I have to stop them. No, don't talk about this thing here. Talk about something else. If you talk about Clover Dairy's milk is going cheaper here and Lux soap is better here, right? I talk about it. Please don't talk about people. So I talk about something else, but don't talk about ghibah. Please, don't talk about it. So, are we taking them closer to Jannah? Are we taking them closer to Jannah? Or, she said, no, we are exempt, we are a class of our own, so we are exempt. Allah Pak will look at us favorably. Do we think like that? Or we stop them? Rasulullah is stopping the household. One of the Azwaja Mutaharat, the respect of the wives, Rasulullah, she mentioned just one word. And Rasulullah stopped her on her tracks. Correct, to the street, there and then he stopped her. one of them said something that was not appropriate, right? And Rasulullah stopped talking to her for approximately 2.5 months. Just one word that was not appropriate. And do we apply this? You know, in love now, you know, if I'm going to say something now, tomorrow at night I need something, you know, some favors. All the favors will be all watered down. See, future planning. Is that right? So that's why I say, are we looking within ourselves? Are we correcting ourselves? Yeah, my comfort, etc., must not be compromised. My comforts must not be compromised. The Shariat can be compromised, it's all right. But my personal comforts must not be compromised. So let me show you this attitude that we have, that I'm holier than thou, or I'm a class of my own, I can do this, others can't do it. Leave all this thing here. The closer you come to Allah Ta'ala, the more careful you need to be. I'm just showing you now what this is leading to, a moderate Islam, and what happens in this moderate Islam. One person came, a very educated person came here, right? So there's a problem with all that. So his wife's side, they wanted a session. Man that is representing the wife, he was not there at the time, so so the wife's brother is talking now. So you see, he got married, right? So now he's in the bath. He'll leave all his stuffs, he'll leave it on the dressing table. So the curiosity had the better of the wife, and she started checking. When she started checking now, so she saw, she came up, that he's got other girlfriends. Now, you know, you see the history, and someone's a little bit more smart, they go through forensic and they know how to hack the whole thing and get all the history out. So she knew all these things here. So she started checking, right? Now, generally our South Africans are very peace-loving people. We don't want fights. We don't want to appear in courts and fights. We don't want that. So the way to do it is to close the avenues that will lead to a fight. Not to come to a fight and then stop it. No, you close the avenues that will lead to a fight. See the traffic regulations, right? Drive at 120. Don't exceed the limit. So driving more than 120 is not an accident, but it can lead to death. So they will stop you. The avenues that will lead to a crime, to an accident, to an injury, they will stop you. So Islam does that all the time, it does it. Those avenues that can lead you to destruction and ruin, Islam will stop you. So now, she's checking on to his, because she knows that forensic and all that, so she's checking. He's got girlfriends. Alright, she's looking more. Getting interested in what the husband is doing. Then she sees that he's got not only girlfriends, but he's got boyfriends. Again now. Right. Then the curiosity got the better over this girl. She's looking even further. And she sees now there's a message or something, whatever happened, and he raped. Right. He's raping also. So from girlfriends to boyfriends to rape. See that? She's checking all these messages, what's ever happening in the phone. And then from there, from that point onwards now, the thing that is, you know, too unthinkable, he became a pedophile. Small children is playing with him, whatever he's doing. But you see now, you allowed one thing, one barrier broke, you would experiment the second thing. You took a wife, then you got girlfriend, experiment something else. Because they may have something else that this one doesn't have. Then you would experiment the third thing, you would experiment with boys. With men, right? And then when you finish that experiment now with children, right? But now what Islam is saying that the avenues that can lead to destruction, then you stop that as well. Now this man come to me at a time when they want to shoot this person, kill this person. So he's a professional accountant, right? Top guy, top person. He's wearing kurta also. Sitting in the program as well. But that's his madaj. And he's proud about the thing. Before we only had proud South African. Now you know proud what? See this when you leave this path of closing the avenues, you know what it leads to? Damage, what, you know, irreparable damage. So So then I have to ask that, I have to tell that the brother, by ask your sister to ask for a divorce, his marriage is not right. And I can understand that you people may also lose it. Now I'm telling you all, so you all are holding back, not doing anything, right? But it's person will carry on if he's addicted to all these type of things, he's not going to leave it. And something funny can happen. Now he's got a legal recourse. What's going to happen to you? So rather just separate, don't cause any problem here. You see, but you see, when the damage is done, now the thing comes here. So we are asking, by don't get near there, don't get near those parameters. You're going to go near those parameters. Can you see the consequences? Can you see the ramifications? What's going to happen afterwards? So we speak about qadaful hal minun. Warda anna wa ardina. Allah Ta'ala, be pleased with us. And you make us pleased as well. You also be pleased with us. And let us be happy as well. See how Yunus alayhi salam, in the time of distress, he's saying this thing. Allah, you know, when I have all that wealth, so I have to reach you, but via all these things here. And now all these things are out of the way. Now Allah, I'm reaching you direct. I ask you, what will be the internal state of his mind? Will he be in a state of happiness or depression? Extreme happiness. Allah, I can reach you, and I can reach you directly. I'm talking to you directly. There's no via. You know, I remember when we were small, so if you have to phone, or there's some important message that has to be conveyed to a farm town, right? So you first phone the exchange, right? They say, alright, calling so and so. So that's a long process. It can take you 10 minutes before you reach there. And now straight you're getting it. So it's a straight contact to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying, look at this verse, look at the words, choice of the words, right? So he used a past tense to say, the Muslims, the believers, have won through, they won the race. That is a foregone conclusion, right? It's a foregone conclusion. No changes, no alterations. Mu'mins have won through. So there's two things now to be discussed here about qadaflah al-mu'minun. Now before that, let me just end this hadith. Rasulullah said, made a dua. He addressed the sahaba ikram and said, these are 10 verses. Ulaika humul warithun. الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسُمْ فِيَا خَالِدُونَ. Right. These 10 verses, you apply those properly and you're going straight to Jannah. How important it is, right? You apply these things correctly and you're going straight to Jannah. But now, understand the subject matter. First Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. When you say أَفْلَحَ, what you mean, when you say win, right? Sometimes you translate as win, sometimes you translate as success, kamyabi, all that, right? But what is the essence of the meaning? The essence of the meaning is that every desire is fulfilled. You ask a man with a grey beard what he wants. The latest shababa ya'ud, the young youth must come back again. I'm limping limb now, that thing must come right. I must be like 17. So, every desire of yours must be fulfilled. That's what you wish for, right? And everything that is uncomfortable must be removed. Every discomfort must be removed, and every desire must be fulfilled. So in this world it can't happen. Can it happen? Every desire will be fulfilled, and every discomfort must be removed. Can it happen in this world? Can't happen. Now, what a grey beard would make it black. So you thought you became young. You didn't become young, you're still the same. It's just a dye there. So every desire is fulfilled, every discomfort is removed, right? So in this world it doesn't happen, but in the hereafter Allah will make it happen, right? وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. Whatever you call for it, though you got it. You ask for it and you got it. You just desired and you got it. Dekh karke jawani aa jayegi bhai. You will see Jannat, automatically your youth will come out. You will become young, straight away. You just see Jannat, first encounter. different manner. Allah Pak Jannat Naseeb Kare. So many people have seen so many good dreams, you know, this whole COVID, all that, right? But nearly every Muslim hearing about, you can see like a Jannat scene. A man is young, up to the age of 90, and you see the man now, young, like a 25-year-old youngster. So that's Jannat now. So everything that you would desire for, you get, and every discomfort is removed. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحُزَنِ. Allah Ta'ala, all distress, all agony you removed. So that's Jannat. But I say a minuscule of Jannat, you will get it here also in this world as well. Outwardly some obligation, some ordinance seem to be difficult, outwardly, right? But you just get into it, then you can't do without it. Now you ask someone, right, because it's a lockdown, it was a lockdown, right? You ask a person that was in a habit of reading Fajr Namaz in the Masjid with Jamaat, how difficult it was for him to read. So that Fajr Namaz in the Masjid becomes such a comfort, such a relaxation, such a fulfillment, satisfaction, that no amount of Namaz at home can give you that satisfaction. See that? So outwardly it was a difficulty, but really it's a satisfaction, fulfillment. You hear that Azan, you hear that Namaz, it felt, hey, Alhamdulillah, now I can start off my day. Don't you feel like that? And not doing it, you feel so ghabrat, uneasy. One of the reasons that I don't go out too many places, right, is to go for holiday here and there. And I think to myself, you're going to go for a holiday, a hotel here and there. You're going to have a masjid, can you get that sawab there? 27 times so more. You're going to get all the azan there. You're not going to get azan there. No masjid there. So what's the fun? The excitement is when this azan, this namaz, people attending, coming, going. That's the excitement. In one hotel sitting there now. I don't say it's haram now. See, this becoming too strict just now, right? I don't say it's haram, but I'm talking about my own personal self, that I don't like to go to this place just because of this now. You'll go to Kruger National Park, what you'll see right after that. Mustafa Rahman used to say, log mujhe Africa ko bulate, they call me to South Africa. Because jab yahan aate hain, to mujhe janwar batate, kahin sher batate, kahin haathi batate. When I come here, they just show me lions and elephants and all that. Bhai, mujhe koi sahi mu'min batao, show me a true Muslim. I came from here and I show me animals. Bhai, show me a nice Muslim. You feel satisfied, you feel fulfilled. See now how they find the fulfillment and where we find the fulfillment. So I say that even in this world, you get a sense of satisfaction, fulfillment. You get that fulfillment, you get that satisfaction. Allah gives it to you. But then that fulfillment is for who? For the mu'min. And that mu'min, what it requires, that all the articles of faith, you must have it in place. Billahi, wa bi rasulihi, wa bi, on the kitabs, on divine books, the malaika, the anbiya alayhimus salam, taqdeer, khayri wa sharri min Allah ta'ala, that good or bad happens for the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we don't need to know what was the wisdom, why this happened. No. Yes, it is the command of Allah ta'ala, I embrace it. Why it happened, He knows. We believe that He is Hakim, He is Alim, He is just, and he is most wise, He is full of justice. So there is some reason, but we don't know it. We don't know it. And we don't need to know it. Allah doesn't have to ask us, must I do this? He doesn't have to ask you. One person asked Musa alayhi salam, make dua for me that I know I have got the knowledge of the unseen. You know? Musa alayhi salam says, no, it's not the appropriate thing. So please make dua. Well, I make dua for you. Now, he got some knowledge of the unseen, so he saw now, his horse is going to die. See, I got this knowledge now. So he takes his horse, marketplace, got 100,000 rand for it. Hey, mashallah, see. Ambiya, they got knowledge, but they don't know about the dunya, you know. See, I cashed in 100,000, I would have lost just now 100,000. Then he saw cow is giving milk, that is going to die. So when it sold that thing also. Again, he said, see, I know this thing here, what a benefit, what a joy. Then he saw that you will not die after tum mar jaoge. You will not die now. So he comes to Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam, see, I told you that knowledge is not appropriate. Allah Pak's taqdeer was that some calamity must strike you. So Allah Pak moved it from you to the horse. But you went, sold the horse. Then from the horse you moved it to the cow. Now nothing else that you have got. So the calamity must strike onto you. See that? See that? So sometimes a calamity comes and Allah guards you for something far worse. Allah Pak's taqdeer.